We have a lot of kids, and so I was thinking, you know, as the herd was leaving this morning, I was thinking, but hey, you know, and a bunch of adults were going. I'm like, stick around. We still have some. But no, we are blessed with a bunch of young people, and I know that our children's church is thriving, and they are a blessing. At least they're a blessing to us because they're up there now. I don't know if they're still a blessing to them who are up there, but no, we have a lot of great kids, and it's just so exciting to see them leave and be so excited about going up and hearing about the Word of God. This morning, we're going to continue in the overall theme of difference makers in today's world, because that's what we're trying to be, are we not? Let's try it again. That's what we're trying to be, right? We're trying to be difference makers, because you don't have to go very far to hear about things that need to change. Amen? I mean, in our country, and you know, just overall, I mean, if you read the news or watch the news, which I try to do very little, I honestly do. Some preachers want to be really up on all current events and everything that's going on, and I'm not one of those. Not that I don't think current events are important. It's just that I struggle enough with depression without that added on to it. And, you know, I believe that no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on politically or in our country, that God still reigns. He is still on His throne. He is still in command. He is still sovereign over the world and the universe. And no matter what's going on, whether we're going to war here or the economy's doing this or this person got elected or this person didn't, no matter what's happening, my goal and my mission on a daily basis never changes. And that is to try and introduce as many people in as any way possible to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that should be our goal, no matter what's going on, current affairs-wise. That should be our goal. But if we need encouragement, if we need motivation, watch the news. Read the newspapers. Read the magazines. Get online. Read the bloggers and all that. And you will find out that there needs to be a change. And we need to be that change. We need to make that difference in the world. And so this morning, as we look at Colossians chapter 1, and I know the scripture reading was 21 and following, but we're going to actually start in verse 15. And one thing that we're going to learn about this morning is that, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to someone this morning, I was like, you know, anytime I miss a Sunday, it just feels like a month has gone by since I've been up preaching. And I talked to Gary Johnson the week before he preached last week in my absence, and I told him, I said, well, just don't break the pulpit, and it looks like everything's still okay, but it does. I miss being here. I miss everybody, and it feels like a month since I was up here preaching. But before Gary last week talked about what's your story, the week before that we were talking about, does Jesus really make a difference? And we talked in Colossians about Jesus has to be this difference-making a part of our life, and He's got to be this defining factor. And this morning, what we're going to learn about is that because of Jesus, friendship with God makes a difference in our lives. And that's one of the things that we're going to have to wrap our minds around somehow is being friends with God, being being partners with God, being in this intimate relationship with God. Because until we get that right, until we get, and I hate to use the word right, and I don't mean until we get that correct. I mean until we get comfortable and get our minds wrapped around the friendship, the partnership, the relationship that we have with God, then we're going to be very powerless to do anything. And let me just unpack that just a little bit before we get into the 3 points that I have for you. I've said this before, and I'll say it again many times, is that one of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozer, who is a great preacher and author, is, "What you think about God is the most important thing about you, bar none." Now, what I mean by that, what Tozer meant by that, is that that our perception of God, whatever comes to mind when you think about God, is the one factor that is capable of determining so much of everything about you. So when you think about God, what are the first words that come to mind? Are they Savior? Is it happiness? Is it fear? Is it unknown? Is it wrath? Blessedness? Whatever that word is, whatever that concept of God is. Some people, okay, God our Father. Well, for some, Father's not a real good connotation for them in their life. Some, you know, God is creator, and that's just beyond our comprehension because, you know, science tells us this, and how many years was this here, and, you know, and so there's a lot of confusion there. You know, whatever it is, it's so important because how you think about God will determine how you respond to God, and how you respond to God will determine everything about our daily life. If we respond to God with apathy, with I don't care, with just a agreed upon mutual distance, then our actions and our lives will reflect that. If we think about God as this, regardless of what our father happened to have been like, if we think about God as a loving father, as a kind and caring and generous, as Howard was pointing out this morning, as a patient and forbearing father, then we might respond to him a little bit differently. But how we think about God is important. And this morning, I want us to think about God as a friend, as someone that we can relate to. Because isn't that so difficult often when we think about God, or when we try to share God with somebody, to share the story of God, to share His story that started at the garden and has gone all the way until now? Isn't that difficult for people to really relate to God like we relate to each other? But if we consider Him a friend, if we consider Him as approachable, if we consider Him as someone who's on our side, doesn't that change a lot? You know, one of the things that in youth ministry that you try to do is let the kids know that regardless of what they think, regardless of what they've done, regardless of their Bible knowledge or lack of, whatever it is, they have to know that we as adults, or me as a leader, whoever it is, they got to know that we're on their side. We don't mean them any harm. We have nothing but their best interest at heart. And they have to understand that, and they have to adopt that. They have to believe that wholeheartedly before you can ever teach them anything, before you can ever impact their life on any level. They have to know that you are on their side, that you are their fan. See, God's on our side. And Colossians chapter 1 proves that. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that, and he lays out for us the very reality. So this morning I want to deal with three non-negotiable aspects of our friendship with God. These are realities that hopefully will help us to digest and to wrap our minds around the fact that we are in, that to be a difference maker, we have to understand our relationship with God, and we have to be in this friendship. The first thing that I want you to understand, and we're going to read the text here, is that God initiates the friendship. The first thing about this friendship is that God initiates it. And if you've got your Bibles, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 15. And there we read, He is the image of the invisible God. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about Christ and his supremacy. He says he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created for him, or by him and for him. Now that's a whole lot of otherworldly theology talking about Jesus. And he's setting us up for something. He's expanding our view to set us up. Now remember, God's on our side. God's our friend. He's our biggest fan. And so he's telling us all of these things about Jesus, about Christ, who, John would tell us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He's telling us about Christ, but he's telling us about himself. And he's painting this picture so universal, so gigantic. And he's doing it to awe us. He's doing it to set us up. I mean, we're getting set up here. So he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I mean, you see, he's setting us up. I mean, this is too wonderful, too big, too otherworldly, too much for me to understand or comprehend, and certainly for me to get close to. It's so big, it's so much, it's so supreme, it's so otherness. He says, once you were alienated from God and enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. Well, that's what we would expect, right? I mean, we would expect the God that he just described, the Christ, the greatness that he just laid before us. Well, of course I'm alienated from him. The description alone alienates me from him. Not, you know, without even regarding my sinfulness. I mean, just based on his description of him, I'm alienated from him. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. The beauty of this friendship is that God initiates it, that I don't have to understand him to approach him. I don't have to have him all figured out. I don't have to understand. I don't have to be holy. I don't, that the beauty of this, the thing that God wants us to know more than anything else, is that in our state of alienation, whether it's alienated because of our lack of understanding, whether it's alienated because of our sin, whether it's alienated because of our ignorance, God has initiated this and he reconciled us to himself. He came close to us. He initiates this. He reconciled us through Christ's body to present us. You know what we don't find in that sentence, in this paragraph that he uses in verses 21 through 22? We don't find us doing a whole lot. We find ourselves being the recipient of this. We're the recipient of this reconciliation. We're the recipient of the body of Christ. We are the ones that are being presented to God. We're not presenting ourselves. The reality is that this friendship between us and God is one that, even in our sinfulness, even in our misunderstanding, even in our ignorance, our inability to understand him, he comes and condescends to us and lifts us up to him. We have nothing Nothing to fear. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to flee from. We have only to be reconciled to God through His initiative. One of the things that excites me and encourages me and motivates me more than anything else is that every day, regardless of who I am or what I've done or what I've thought or what I've said or the kind of father that I've been or the kind of husband that I've been, every day, by some supreme miracle, God still wants to be around me. I mean, that's what he's saying here. Is he being reconciled to Him? That's an intimate connection with. It isn't just an intellectual. Okay, I'm going to overlook these things, and I'm not just going to damn you to hell for them. But he's bringing us unto Himself. God initiates that. In 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 10, he says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And he showed us his love because he sent his son. He came and he did everything possible, everything necessary to initiate this friendship. And I love the way that John, in his letter, in his epistle, points out, this is love. You know, no doubt John understood what Paul had written about in 1 Corinthians 13, that, you know, love is patient, kind, and all those things. You know, it doesn't keep any record of wrong. It doesn't envy. It delights in the truth. It doesn't delight in evil, but delights in the truth. All of those things. You know, no doubt John was familiar with all that. And he said, this is love. No. Not our, you know, it's not love really for us to love God. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, how hard is it for us to love God? As Howard talked about this morning, as good as God is, as patient as God is, as generous as God is, as God is. Hard is that? But you know what love is? That He loved us. That love is, I mean, what record of wrong do we have to keep on God? He said, this is love. God initiates the friendship. The second thing that we learn about this friendship is that it's faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith in the gospel of Christ keeps us in the friendship. Look at verse 23 of Colossians. It says, if you continue, so once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, oh, I knew there was something I had to do. And see, that's the part where we're weak in, right? It's our faith. I knew there were some fine print in this thing. You said we were being set up, and we are, because here's the fine print. Here's where God's going to get you, right? Because my faith is weak, and it's mustard seed-like. It's not even mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed that's like bitten in half. And it's just, you know, there it is. There's the caveat. That's how He gets you, because we've got to have this faith, and faith is so hard, and the faith that I've learned all of my life and all of my church career that, you know, you got to believe enough, and your faith is works, and works, faith without works is dead, and all of that kind of stuff. And here it is. I knew it was coming. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, don't forget that. I mean, it's got to be established faith, and it's got to be firm faith. And let me just tell you, if your faith is anything like mine, it is certainly most of the time not established, and it is anything but firm. Not moved, see, more from the hope held out in the gospel. Do we ever consider that God's not setting us up because the only thing we have to have faith in is Christ's willingness ability and complete work to save and our own inability to do that very thing. How many of us can have faith in that? How many of us can have faith, I mean, established and firm and unwavering and any other kind of faith? How many of us can be strong in the faith that I am unable to save myself? Can I have an amen on that? How many of us can be established and rooted and strong in faith that there is nothing that I can do to present myself worthy and holy to God? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And how many of us can have faith that if we're going to be with God in heaven, if we're going to be friends with God, if we're going to have any kind of a relationship with God, if we're going to be saved at all, it's going to have to be Him who does it. Can we have faith in that? That's what He says. The faith that we have that keeps us in this reconciled relationship, the faith that we have that keeps us in this friendship is hope held out in the gospel. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived, died, came out of the tomb by the power of God and His Holy Spirit, and reigns on high to forgive us and has forgiven us of all of our sin, past, present, and future. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Paul would tell us in Corinthians, Paul would tell us in Ephesians, the gospel of Christ is that He is the Son of God, perfect, crucified, raised again, reigning with God on high, forgiving our sins continually. That's it. That's what keeps us in this friendship, recognizing our own inability and His supreme ability. Faith in the gospel of Christ keeps us in it. And the last thing that we need to understand, the third thing about this friendship, is that friends of God act like friends of God. And if you look in verses 24 through 27, he talks about, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions." I didn't touch anything. I'm back on. Okay. "What is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that's been kept hidden for ages and generation, but is now disclosed to the saints." Here's where he talks about acting like it. "To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." What he's saying, guys, is that this friendship, when we recognize, when we let go of our own, if we let go of ourselves and we just live in Christ, when we recognize what God has given us in Christ, what God has offered us, what God is trying to do with us and in us in Christ, then we can approach Him. We can be in concert with Him. We can be in business with Him. We can be in this relationship with Him. And we don't have to fear Him. We don't have to run from Him. We don't have to find our self-worth and our abilities and anything else. We don't have to find that in anything but God. And we are free to just be who God has called us to be and act like God wants us to act. We no longer have to put ourselves up above each other. We no longer have to lord over anybody. We no longer have to be anything other than equal and unified in the body of Christ. He said, that's what will show those outside of Christ that He's made a difference to you, that He's made a difference in you. So that's what will show the mystery to the Gentiles, the mystery of the salvation to those outside of Christ, is that it's Christ in me. That's my hope of glory. There's no glory in riches. There's no glory in the accumulation of wealth. There's no glory in standing or status or any of this. There's no glory in any of that. There's no approaching God on my righteousness. There's no self-absorption. Because my hope of glory is Christ and Him alone. See, when we allow this friendship with God to make a difference in our lives, then it will make a difference in the lives of others. When we allow friendship with God to make a change in our world, in our personal world, then our friendship with God will change the rest of the world. This morning, do you want to make a difference? Do you want to continue to make a difference? Do you want God? I have a. Hey, Matt, take mine down just a second. All right, back up. It's gone. Do we want to continue to make a difference? Do we want God to make a difference? Or do we want to just come here and get it done and get it over with and move on and go about the rest of our lives? Because if we want to make a difference, then we have to wrap our minds and our hearts and our reality around this friendship with God and let it do what it's intended to do, and that is change us from inside to outside so that the world will know that regardless of the politics, so that the world will know regardless of what's going on in the Middle East, the Far East, the bottom or the top East, that God is on high. That God's reigning, sovereign over the universe. And we cannot be moved. We cannot be scared. And we cannot be concerned with anything that's going on with the perishable world, because our goal, our mission, our citizenship is in heaven. And there's nothing that can deter us from showing the glory and the hope that is in Christ. Nothing. This morning, you want to make a change. You want God to make a difference. If you need the prayers of this church, if you want to confess Christ, be baptized into His, and be buried with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection, whatever your need is, if you want to have a difference made in you and then to go forth and to make a difference, let us know. Whatever your need is, meet me up front. Come forward. We'll talk about it. We'll pray about it as together we stand and as we sing.